Sairam. We now bring you an episode of our series, Outside, Inside, and Deep Inside. This is a series of special programs that first went live from the studios of Radio Sai as part of our Thursday live broadcast. This episode is entitled, A Tailor-Made Gurukula for Modern Times, the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Part 1. This was conducted live in the studio in July 2013, in the month we celebrate the festival of Guru Purnima. This was a panel discussion with four senior teachers of the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Mr. Ram Mohan Rao, Mr. Venkateshwarlu, Dr. Sailesh Srivastava, and Mr. Satish Babu. You will now hear the first part of the recorded version of this program. The host of this program is Radio Sai's Bishu.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say, and welcome to this last leg of Thursday live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and the first month of the academic year is just over. We have stepped on to July 2013. And I cannot help but relish the beautiful moments of the month just gone by. And one of the most refreshing moments for me was to see the Sai Kulwant Hall on June 1st, filled with new, bright and eager faces, the new students of Satya Sai Educational Institutions in Prashantinilayam. Some of them have made it after a lot of perseverance, hard work and prayer. For others, it was virtually a penance, finally bearing its fruit. And for yet others, it is something which just happened. They had never imagined, possibly even a couple of months ago, that they would actually be joining this league of students. So it is a lovely mix, and you could see all these various emotions reflecting on their fresh faces as they were seated in the Sai Kulwant Hall. And it just fills you with happiness looking at this new army in white, because how many times have you not heard Bhagwan say, declare, reiterate on every possible occasion that students are his only property and they are the ones who would strive to be the messengers of his love and who would strain themselves to silently bring in that revolution in society where truth, goodness and righteousness stand with courage and confidence, with no fear, and where violence and evil become exceptions and not the rule, as it seems to be in the world outside today. A couple of months ago, in January this year, we heard how a teenager in New Mexico just took the assault rifle from the cupboard of their home and eliminated his entire family, parents and his two siblings. And he had in mind to go to the shopping mall nearby and repeat this act randomly. As he later revealed, he had become so insensitive. In fact, the Australian Crime Facts and Figures report published by the Australian Institute of Criminology in May this year states that teenagers aged 15 to 19 are Australia's most dangerous people. Violent crime is highest among this group. And I will not go into the numbers, which will only sadden us more. Indeed, if you analyze most of the evil happening in the world today, especially in the developed countries, it is not so much because of lack of education. In fact, it is the educated and the intelligent who are responsible for most of the disruption we see in society today, be it terrorism to cyber espionage. And it is because, as someone said, modern education without values, however useful it may seem, it ends up making man a more clever devil. And it is for this reason that many great masters from ancient times to the modern era, from sages and saints of yore to Swami Vivekananda, Martin Luther King, Rabindranath Tagore, Mahatma Gandhi, all of them had this as one of their primary goals. Gandhiji said, if you want peace in the world, start with the children. And Martin Luther King Jr. put the main purpose of education very succinctly when he said, intelligence plus character, that is the goal of true education. And Swami Vivekananda, after extensively touring the West, when he returned to India and thought deeply about how to resurrect India and how to cure the various problems plaguing Indian society, he said, the solution lies in education. But education not the way it is generally understood. He said the end of education is man-making. And he defined education as a manifestation of perfection already present in man. And this perfection, he said, is the realization of the infinite power which resides in everything and everywhere. The essential unity of the entire universe. He said this is what should be realized through education. So man-making, according to Swami Vivekananda, meant arousing every man to his own true self. And how to achieve this? One way to achieve this, he said, is to fall back on the old institution of Gurukula, that is living where the pupils live with the preceptor. In such systems, he elaborated, the students can have the ideal character of the teacher constantly before them, which will serve as the role model for them to follow. And further on, Vivekananda had his own dreams about building such institutions, and he says, I quote, "My plan is to start institutions in India to train our young men as preachers of the truths of our scriptures in India and outside India. Men, this is what is wanted. Everything else will be ready, but strong, vigorous, believing young men, sincere to the backbone, are wanted. 100 such and the world becomes revolutionized. The will is stronger than anything else. Everything must go down before the will, for that comes from God." And he ends that quote saying, "A pure and strong will is omnipotent." So this is what Swami Vivekananda planned to do. Or rather, I would say, this is what Swami inspired Swami Vivekananda to say hundreds of years ago. At that time, through Vivekananda, Bhagwan said, "My plan is to start institutions, and in our times, we saw the manifestation of many such dreamt about institutions, and today they have acquired mammoth proportions, and we also today see the fruits of such institutions. Be it the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School or the various campuses of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning or the various Sai schools in various parts of India and elsewhere. Today, if you have a student who after his double degree in these institutions decides to forsake a lucrative career to start a NGO, a non-government organization, to only take care of the underprivileged in the impoverished states of India, it is because of this education, and this is the true story of Gunaranjan. There's another who through his competence has climbed the corporate ladder, and today he sits as the CEO of a corporation and is now busy creating employment opportunities for people in rural areas. This is the tale of Prashant. And there are students who have astounded their peers in the banking industry by their sense of righteousness. Vivek Naidu went out of his way to help 500 clients of his bank with finance, even though the main office of his bank did not bother about them because the bank was going through tough times and he didn't want to look after the needs of all these clients. But Vivek Naidu said, this cannot happen. We cannot let them suffer because of our problems. In fact, the stories of this nature are numerous, and it has been the fortune also of so many to be part of these institutions from where such conscientious individuals emerge. And today we will be talking to four such extremely blessed and superlatively committed souls who have dedicated their lives to create these extraordinary and enlightened citizens out of ordinary minds. Yes, we will be talking to four teachers of the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Mr. Ramon Rao sir, Mr. Venkateshlu. Both of them have been almost been there in the school since the inception of the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School in Prashantinilayam. And then we have Dr. Sailesh Srivastava and Mr. Satish Babu, both of whom chose to stay on and serve in Prashantinilayam after their post-graduation in Bhagwan's University and have been living with the boys in the hostel for more than two decades now. So we will listen to them, their reflections on this modern Gurukula system that so many envisaged and hoped for, and Swami made it happen. We will listen to their reflections of how it is to live in this institution and experience the experiment that Bhagwan started almost 30 years ago. And before we begin, let us first offer our deep sense of gratitude to Bhagwan for blessing us with this opportunity of knowing Him, of listening to Him, and ruminating on Him and feeling His presence. Dear Lord, please bless us so that this quest to walk on the path laid down by You never ever ceases or subdues in our lives. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome dear listeners to this yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. And today, we discuss about the awe-inspiring Gurukula of the modern century, the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School. And as I mentioned, we have four teachers with us now. Welcome dear sirs and teachers to this program.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. To me, the very essence,
yes, sir,
of Bhagavan's educational system and is expressed in the ancient Gurukula prayer. Sahana Bhavatu.
Yes.
Sahana Bhunaktu. Sahaviryam Karabhavahai. Tejasvina Vadhitamastu. Let us live together. Let us exist together. Let us grow together. Let us grow spiritually illumined together. And that is the very essence of the system.
That's really wonderful, and this is an ancient Vedic dictum, but it sounds so lofty, but I wonder how it really happens in the hostel, because now you see so many new boys who have joined the hostel, and this is sort of like the mission vision statement of corporations. It sounds very lofty, but how do you really translate that? My question to begin with is, you find so many boys who just joined the hostel, be it in the 8th class or be it in the 12th class, and they come from different backgrounds and with different sort of environments, be it in their home or be it in the hostels, and they must be having a lot of problems, I guess, in trying to adjust with the new environment, because our environment is so much like a Gurukula system. So may I ask, how do you deal with the boys when they come to this new environment? There could be problems of homesickness to problems of absolute disinterest to the system. So how do we deal with this in our school? Yes, Satish Babu, sir.
Sai Ram, as Swami says, that education is for life, and making the life which is useful to the society and beneficial to the others and neighbors who are around us. From the time they enter into the hostel, they are taught these great ideals of life. As soon as the children enter into the hostel, maybe the new students of 11th standard or maybe the students of 8th standard, they are all welcomed with great love. First thing they would see is, welcome back home.
Mm-hmm.
That is the idea put up on the notice board. And everybody sees that and they say, it's a home where everyone lives for the other and all live for the God. This main statement will be there welcoming them. As soon as they enter, the senior students of the hostel would immediately, with great love and affection, welcome them, take their baggage, luggage to their rooms, make them comfortable, show them how they have to arrange their luggage, where they have to keep their belongings. Not only that, after they all land into the hostel and keep their luggage and their belongings in their places, the senior boys would come to the rooms and tell, brothers, now you all come for breakfast. We all will take you all. Please come with your plates and tumblers.
Wow.
They take them directly to the place and make them sit comfortably and serve them all the food. And it's a very nice thing to see that somebody cares for you, somebody loves. Like,
and this is the first day you have just joined and you feel that there is someone who is bothered.
So nice
about
it is
you
to see how the senior students will look after the young ones, the new students who just land into our system. And that itself will give a comfortable and very happy look for them, for
yes,
the students who
very,
join.
Very easy environment to begin with.
Very nice, very nice. They
and so much in contrast with what generally we hear about what happens in other institutions, especially the anecdotes of ragging and all that. I mean, it's so much in contrast. It really reminds one of the Gurukula system where, you know, you will find the elder peoples who will want to welcome, and you know, it's like a brotherhood. You get into a feeling of brotherhood right from the time.
Absolutely. In fact, if you look at the philosophy of education that Swami has started, there's one very basic difference between the institutions that are run almost elsewhere anywhere and the ones which Swami has started. All of Swami's educational institutions are, I would say, hostel-centered.
Yes.
If I can say home-centered. Swami strikes at the roots. Where is it that our roots lie? So, while in every other school we have the hostels attached to the schools and the hostels just become a namesake building where people can stay and reside, possibly not even knowing who the warden is or who is taking care of them. In Swami's institutions, it is the hostel environment which makes the entire system run in a way that is, you know, akin to the Gurukula system.
Yes.
That we can talk of. So we have the teachers living.
Yes.
With the students. This is quite unlike, I think, any of the hostels that we come across in the world today.
Yes.
You may have places where there are one or two teachers living.
Yes.
But in our hostel we have, you know, so many teachers living along with the
yes.
students, sharing the same kind of routine with them. So that itself, you know, on the very first day when people join, they realize that the hostel is not just a building. And just as they had parents at home and elder brothers, you have elders living along with you who are caring and loving. So that also makes a difference. And this stays all along, even in the university and all other institutions.
Yes.
That Swami has set up.
It's mandatory.
You'll find
living.
That the hostel life is so important, and that's a place where values are nurtured.
Yes.
That is my personal experience also.
Yes, Raman.
As we have spoken, our brother, Dr. Shailesh, I was a day scholar teacher for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I joined in the year 1979. And I lived outside. And I used to wonder the beauty of the system, wherein lay the greatness of the and the glory of the system. It is only when I joined the hostel at the commandment of Bhagawan in the year 1984.
Mm-hmm.
When I lived my life together, eating the same food, living in the hostel, breathing the same air, and exposed to the same side of life.
Yes.
Had a better insight into the value of Gurukula system of education. It cemented, living together, living together cemented the relationship between the teacher and the taught. I became a better teacher. I developed better understanding and a better appreciation for the boys.
Yes.
And I thought, here is a beautiful system of education.
It really helps you to relate to the students in a much, much, much deeper level than, you know, just spending a few hours in the school and teaching them a particular subject.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not as though the people who do not stay in the hostel are not doing that. So in Swami's system, every teacher, whether he's living in the hostel or not living, is taking care of the students. They do have the same, I should say, interests. But the fact that a few people are able to stay along with the boys, and that's something unique, and that
yes.
Makes the system different. It helps the boy.
Yes.
Naturally, physically, it is not possible for every member of a staff in an institution to be living along with the students. But Swami has created this kind of an environment where a good number of teachers are able to live along with the students. And that has an added advantage, I should say.
Yes.
Apart from whatever happens in the school.
Yes.
And university.
Really.
The hostel environment, having somebody with whom you can share, with whom you can
yes.
talk, always helps.
Yes, really. And my question is, now that you have spent so many years with the students in the hostel, How has it been in the initial months? You know, you find so many boys who are joined and probably they'll be having homesickness, or perhaps someone is really finding it very difficult to understand the system and, you know, grapple and cope with the system. How have you really experienced this? How did you sail through this initial months?
As the brother has mentioned, the first impression is the best impression. The impression with the child carries, not just the child, even the parents. When they see the senior brothers coming and taking care of their young ones, they are so very happy and they feel that they have got their children in right place.
Definitely, my ward is safe.
I don't need to worry about. Swami will be taking care of the children, their wards, in much better way than what they could have done. But in the same time, when the students who join newly, when they miss their parents, as you rightly pointed out, there is some part of homesickness, or there are boys who join in this particular system who are not exposed to Sati Sai education system at all. For them, everything is new. Very different than the schools where they studied or the place where they lived.
Yes.
The activities which they took over as soon as they joined, right from the day one, the number of activities are so many that by being part of those activities, slowly that homesickness goes off without their knowledge in short period of time. I remember one student's experience saying, as soon as he joined, he was feeling very homesick. He kept on crying. Just after 3 days, it happened to be the first Sunday. And the wing teacher took the students for an outing. And there they had a wonderful time of various games and wonderful experiences were shared. And at the end of it, when he came back, he said, such wonderful things happen here. I don't want to miss this. Now I don't feel any homesickness anymore.
Okay, so sort of you felt that this is a cool place. There are wonderful things happening here. There is fun and there's a lot of bonding. I think that would have really helped also to bond with a lot of other his classmates and hostel
mates.
It
does not happen like that to everybody. There are very difficult cases.
Yes.
And very tough cases. I had encountered with such a case like that. There was a student from Mumbai at the time who is now a lecturer in Swami's Institute now. And at the time, he was felt so separated from the parents that he would come to me thrice in a day, morning, afternoon and night, and went forth his agony, literally shedding tears.
Crying?
Crying three times a day. Yeah, 3 times a day.
Because of homesickness?
Homesickness.
Oh my God.
And then I tried my best to give my love to him, to speak him softly, tenderly, and sweetly. Okay, it worked. But it's Bhagwan who actually came to my rescue when it was a question of, is going or staying here? It so happened that his mother, too, was crying on the separation of the son, and the son was also doing the same here.
Some telepathy going on.
Telepathy going on between the two. But one day it so happened, Bhagwan created a sweet to the boy and gave it to him, the same sweet that the mother prepared there. And the mother phoned to him that he had prepared. Then he understood, my mother and Bhagwan are the same. They are in the same parallel line. And Bhagwan's motherly love is the expression of his own mother's love. So he treated Bhagwan as his mother, and his homesickness ceased.
Amazing.
That's amazing. I remember in my first year of the hostel, when I joined the hostel, this was a very simple case where a boy comes and then he started crying. He was a 11th class boy and I was the wing teacher of 11th class when I just joined.
In the hostel we have, for every class, we have a teacher, right?
Teachers in charge. I was new to the hostel and I really did not know how to react.
New as a teacher?
So, yeah. As a hostel teacher, I had been staying outside for 2 years to be precise. And then when I joined and this boy comes and then he just started crying and telling that I'm feeling homesick. I really did not know how to react. So he started crying. So I wiped his tears and told, see, Swami is there. You need not worry. And if you have any problems, you can come and tell me anything. So I realized that was itself enough. In each case, you know, each case can be absolutely different. So this boy just required a friendly pat to say that, don't worry, everything is fine. And his crying stopped, and he continued till he finished his post-graduation in biosciences in our institution. So often it is just one kind word from the teacher or some senior which can also bring about that change.
Yes.
Meaning there can be extreme cases like the one that sir described where God has to personally take care, and then it is our duty to do such small acts which can also help the students.
I think for different things, depending on how serious is their homesickness or the issue they are dealing with, and perhaps one gesture or one act by a senior that does the magic, as you mentioned. Wonderful.
Bhagavan is to tell to the teachers very often, these children are deha putras for their parents, but they are your prema putras.
Wow.
You have to love them and treat them like your own children. And when you show your love to them, they will immediately respond in the correct way as they are expected. So it's our daily experience that when we want to follow His command, His divine command, to love the children selflessly, and we always see that their response is very fast and they feel very homely in our hostel. It's all His love and His direction that flows through us. We are mere instruments, but He loves the children through us.
Wonderful. Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, you have the chance to do this experiment with love every day.
He has given us the opportunity, we can say.
Yes.
As I told you, Mr. Prashin, that the very essence of the system is expressed in the prayer. Sahaviryam karabhavahai.
Yes.
That we grow together. And that has been a very great experience for me. I will unfold to you how I grew when I joined the hostel. I used to fall sick many times when I was working in Orissa. I had worked there for about 8 years. And I used to apply for leave. And I did the same here also when I was a day scholar teacher here. And then when I joined, I was given the responsibility of jogging with the boys, making them perform physical exercises, and live my physical life with them. And it made me really strong. And I'm very glad to say in this connection, I had never applied for leave thereafter in all my 33 years of my life in the hostel.
That's fantastic. That's amazing.
That's how. So we grow together.
Yes, yeah.
Both of us.
Of course, you definitely benefit from everything that you live by.
And that is the beauty of the Gurukula system.
Yes.
Given to us in a different way, Bhagavan, more beautifully.
Yes.
And more inspiringly.
Amazing, sir. And so as we were discussing, I mean, some, you don't know what, but every student needs a different sort of an approach, and slowly, very soon, perhaps get into the system. And as Venkateswara was saying, that they actually don't have much time to think about the home or anything else, because there are a lot of activities that really take them in a very, very sort of involving manner. And can we go on to that in the sense, what are the different activities that, you know, boys generally get into in the hostel? And what also I want you to share is, because it is not such easy, the schedule, especially in the hostel, because where you have to do plenty of things. So one thing is, what are the different things that boys really get into, and do they really get into with enthusiasm in the beginning? And secondly, how do they cope with this?
Many of the students who join, they have come with lots of prayers. Their admission itself, they feel that God has fulfilled their prayer. And as a result, they want to get best of this particular place, what this place offers. So lots of activities on playground. We have various types of matches right from the first week of their joining. We have class-wise matches so that whatever hidden talents are there in the new boys can be seen by other classmates and seniors. Because within a week's time, we divide the whole school in four houses, and the competition starts off right from the second week.
That is really wonderful. Right, second week itself, there's a lot of action on the ground, so there's no time to really think about anything else.
Apart from sports activities, as Bhagwan was very particular that children should learn Vedam, Vedam teaching starts off. They regularly come to Mandir. They see wonderful programs there which inspires them. They participate in bhajans. And apart from all this, they see that the seniors who are there for quite a bit of time in the hostel, they are in fact handling all the activities in the hostel. This makes them feel that they can also be part of it. And they try to find ways and means by which they can join various activities.
You are listening to the program, A Tailor-Made Gurukula for Modern Times, the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Part 1. This was conducted live in the Radio Sai studio in July 2013. This program was part of our regular Thursday live broadcasts. And what you're listening now is the recorded version of that live program. We now resume the presentation.
And we have a whole lot of extracurricular activities apart from all these games and sports in the school, isn't it?
Yes. TSP, Talent Search Program.
Yeah, the talent search programs, they also start.
Yeah, that starts up, and the whole timetable for the whole year is put up on the notice board the day the boys are being divided into various houses. So they know what are the activities they can take part, and the enthusiasm with which they take part is amazing. But before all these activities, the first activity which we have of the Freshers Day, where they are able to show their talent, where they are able to sing, dance.
So basically this is an occasion for all the newcomers.
Newcomers to come and give their performance, whatever best they are in. Maybe drawing, maybe painting, maybe speaking, maybe music. So when they get opportunity to present their talent, when they are appreciated, they start feeling homely. They start feeling that they have been recognized.
Yes.
And all this makes them love this particular place more than anything else.
So first they have to fall in love with the place, then the place can sort of drill into them or sort of instill into them the different things that it wants to really inculcate into them. That was the approach of Bhagwan all the time. He always first showered you with love, and once you fell in love with him, and then you want to follow his teachings. And I think perhaps the same in a subconscious manner, that's what happens in the hostel.
Bhagwan does more than that. I'm most grateful to Bhagwan because he has come to the rescue of the students whenever they face tough situations in sports. I still remember one boy who found it difficult to perform the feats given by the teacher in the sports exercise during the sports meet time. And he wondered whether he would stay in that item at all. And he was praying to Bhagwan. Wonder of wonders, Bhagwan appeared in the dream, consoled him and told him the easier way of performing the feats. Just imagine, Daiva Manushurupena, God coming as human being.
So as Venkateswara so was saying, there are instances that you were mentioning, there are instances where physically Swami actually intervened.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it happens even now in different ways, and you don't know how Swami will inspire someone. It could be through a teacher, it could be through a dream, it could be through something that he reads. I mean, those instances of a Swami doing his job to make the students comfortable, that goes on. Yeah.
And it's important also that the teachers, apart from all these activities, the teachers who are interacting with the students, they have to also be sensitive to the needs of the students and therefore explain to them, make them understand what the place is all about. And that makes them think. Because once they get into the activities and the system, you know, there will always be some students who are not good at, you know, many activities. There will be a variety.
Yes.
So one has to cater to everybody. So there is a role of, you know, talking on the teacher's part to somehow bring out those latent expressions which sometimes lie dormant. There are people who are little introvert.
Yes.
Or I would say that they feel shy to
yes.
express themselves. And such cases become a little more difficult to handle, where it requires on the part of the teacher some amount of talking and
more effort to ensure that whatever is latent in him actually comes out.
Yes.
Not just that, even every activity which they are doing, when we explain them why that is particular activity is taken up and what are the benefits of doing it, they do it voluntarily. They do it with interest.
Can you give some instance, sir?
For example, let us say we have got regular Veda chanting. Swami was very particular that all children should learn. So before we take up this Veda chanting exercise, let us say, so I just narrate every time one particular incident which really inspired me. I had my schooling at my home in Madhya Pradesh in Bilaspur. One day it so happened that some Vedic pundits from South India happened to visit that particular town and they came to our house. When they came to our house, they chanted Narayan Suktam and it was very thrilling experience for the members of home. After they completed, I saw my father offering them huge amount of money. I was very surprised. I didn't say anything till they were there. When they left, I inquired, why is it that they just came and chanted for few minutes and you are offering them such huge amount of money? And then my father explained that these vibrations of chanting are so powerful that they purify the entire atmosphere. They remove all the negative vibrations from here. And anybody lives here or anybody stays here gets inspired to do right things. That is the significance of this Vedic chanting. And then he said, there was time when these Vedic pandits were taken care by kings of earlier times, but there is nobody to take care of them. So it is our duty that we give them what best we can offer to them, because they don't ask anywhere. Whatever is given, they willingly accept. So this kind of instances, I remember one beautiful incident which happened just in the month of March. For whole year we have been learning some 10 Vedic mantras last year, the 10th standard batch. And toward the end of the academic year, we took them for an outing. We went to the nearby place called Lepakshi. After having darshan there, we were inspired that we will sit and chant Rudram. So all the boys got together and the Rudram which they learned, they chanted. As the chanting was going on toward the end, there comes a gentleman. He waited for the chanting to get over and then he approached and he said, are you from Puttaparthi? He said, yes. He said, I could make out by your chanting. It's so thrilling. Nowadays, where do you find school children chanting Vedam?
Yes.
I am so inspired. I was there almost a kilometer away. I just heard the vibrations of this chanting. I came running. And he said, I live in this particular place and I have been here for last 25 years. I will be your guide. I will take you around the whole temple on my own. And he was there with us for 2 years explaining every small details of that particular temple. Because it's a very ancient one.
Yes.
And he explained the whole thing. And at the end, he gave treat to all the boys.
Wow.
Saying that it's a wonderful chanting. Please keep doing it wherever you go.
Fantastic.
So by narrating such experiences, they are also inspired. And when these children go home, whichever samiti is existing there, Sati Sai Seva Samiti, the devotees also want to learn. So if these children pick up these things, they will be able to teach them. And that makes their parents proud.
Yeah, wonderful. So they just take to Vedam chanting in a much, much more positive way. I mean, it's not like it is, you are being asked to do that. It is not kind of forced it upon them. Yes.
As you said, when you explain it to them.
Wonderful. And that is only one of the activities, isn't it? The Veda chanting is just one.
Yes, absolutely.
And there are plenty.
There are many activities like this. For example, the spiritual activities. We have Surbhatam in the morning time. We have worshipping Ganesha and the other statues. And as our brother said, the bhajans in the evening time in the mandir. I have an experience to relate in this regard. I took the list of the boys who wanted to do Ganesha worship. Ganesha festival is fast approaching. We were making hectic preparations for the Ganesha festival at that time. And there was one boy who had a doubt in his mind. Is this necessary? Is Ganesha true? Does Ganesha want all this? He had doubts in his own mind, even though he was a student pujari. Lo and behold, that night, Ganesha blessed him with a dream. Ganesha was active in the dining hall, in the prayer hall, and he was giving his orders to the boys. Hey boys, you climb that ladder, fix the festoon there, and you decorate the altar this way, that way. Then my boy understood, Ganesha is real, very real, 100% real. And then that's how his faith was confirmed.
Wonderful.
So this is a wonderful experience of that boy. Yes. I felt really thrilled when the boy expressed, so boys experiment like that. And God comes to our rescue and sustain this ancient system, which is fostered in Bhagavan's school.
Their love for God just spontaneously starts beginning. I mean, the process of falling in love with God starts off in very different ways for every student. And you know, as the teachers do their effort, you have Bhagavan who does the rest.
I'm sure all will remember, you know, there were times when we used to talk a lot about, you know, that's quite interesting that we used to talk a lot about Mounam and inspire students to maintain silence. In fact, I'm sure even when you were a student, you would have remembered times when it used to be nice and we used to see many students practicing this Mounam. And the practice continues even now in different ways. There have been times, the last batch in 2010 and 11, when Bhagwan was physically giving darshans, we used to have a special routine for going to Mandir in the evenings. And just to make it interesting for the boys, we had some kind of lots being picked up so as to decide who will go and sit in front. And the moment this came up that they are going to pick up lots to decide who will go and sit in front, each student would do something on his own. Mm-hmm. And I did not know that, but later, after some days, this became evident, and then some boys were maintaining Mounam throughout the day. And then it used to happen that these students would get off the lots in the first row. And then others noticed it, that this thing was repeating. Every day that student kept Mounam, he would get this. So this kind of things, these things spread, you know, in Swami's system. It encourages you to develop such simple spiritual values.
You see the rewards of your experiments.
You take one step, God takes 10 steps.
I think that is something very, very fantastic about this system, where you have an environment where all these things that you want to experiment with goodness, you want to experiment with prayer, and you can see that.
And to tell the truth, this is possible anywhere if one puts in that kind of a sincere effort, because God is all the time there, ready to give things to us.
Yes.
It was Swami's physical presence that inspired all the students.
Yes.
But now, for example, when Swami is not physically there, even now there are students who are inspired to do things like that, and then they come out with wonderful ideas, they do things, and we know that they get their own rewards in different ways. There were students who, you know, in the late hours of the night, without our knowing, you know, these are things because we may not permit, and they have found cleaning the wash basins in the bathroom side, you know, just because they want everybody else to get a clean place in the morning. It is that they heard some teachers telling them that it's nice to do service without others noticing, and they take it to heart.
Even
at this time when Swami is not there. And then Swami rewards them. You know, God will automatically reward them in His own way, whether it is in their studies or...
Wow, I mean, it's really amazing to find really... You know, 10th class or 8th class students, you have the spirit of service getting inculcated so strongly. And if they see the rewards of what they're doing or the fulfillment of what they're doing, then it sort of remains in their personality.
Mr. Prishti, not only the spirit of service, the spirit of prayer.
Prayer, yes.
There is a very solemn form of the life here. And I just want to share with you a beautiful experience that a student had in this regard. He's an 11th class boy. He has never seen Bhagwan before, never talked to Bhagwan, never felt the love of Bhagwan, but joined here because his mother told him and admitted him here. And it so happened, after a few days, he got a call from the mother. My son, I'm in deep trouble in the office. I see problems everywhere. Just pray to Bhagwan. place a letter on Mahasamadhi and ask for his help. Wonder wonders, after 2 days, he got a call from his mother. My dear son, all my problems are solved. So even though Bhagavan is not there in flesh and blood, love is a mortal coil. Bhagavan is very much with us. And the boy said in the classroom.
Boys experienced this.
Yes, the boy said, we have never seen Bhagavan. And he said, my dear students, Bhagavan is giving so much to us even now. Even though he is not with us. Bhagavan is 100% real. And we got a great mission to perform. Just see a boy speaking like that, a new 11th class boy. If not here, where? If not now, when? If not we, who else? I was really amazed when I saw such inspiring words flowing from the lips of a new student. Just imagine what Bhagavan does.
Fantastic.
What faith does.
Satish Babu sir, you have also probably experienced many of these instances when it really sort of startles you. I mean, you are pleasantly surprised to see the blossoming of such virtues.
Yes. It happened 2 days ago.
2 days ago?
Yeah. One of the students' parent came and they wanted to ask me how their children are doing well or not. They're happy. How are they doing in studies? They would meet me and ask me. So the parent met me and asked me, sir, I have got a small problem about my son. He came to me and he started crying. I asked, what is the problem? Please tell me, we'll definitely do the needful. He told me, sir, he is an 8th standard student. He is the room leader for a set of 5 boys. And he cried in front of me telling that I'm not able to mold and help one of the students in my room. I'm not able to keep him in the correct path, the way Swami expects, the discipline what Swami expects. I'm not able to make him as good as all other boys are. So I'm not doing justice for my duty. Sir, my son is crying like this. And what to do for that? I was really thrilled to see the commitment of a small child to make his roommates better and best and the way Swami would want them to be. How the children of such tender age are cultivating such noble qualities of being good and making others good.
Oh my God, I mean, you will find children elsewhere crying because, you know, perhaps they didn't get a particular object or, you know, a certain desire was not fulfilled or a want was not granted. And here he's wondering about the other boys not being good enough as he expected them. And he was actually lamenting his own frailty in not being able to do the role of a leader.
I was suggesting to them, to the boy, don't worry about the results. Our duty is to do the best. And Swami will do the rest. So you don't need to worry about the result. Whether you have done your duty sincerely and made Swami happy. So the boy was happy and convinced that he should do his best to help the roommates. And that's how Swami instills these great ideals in the children's heart from the tender age.
In fact, that is what is the essence of Karma Yoga and Gita. You do your best and leave the rest to God. And, you know, the environment is such that very unconsciously these things somehow get instilled. Amazing. And talking about Karma Yoga, I think in the hostel, as Venkatesh sir was mentioning, there are plenty of other activities, right? Apart from the extracurricular activities and the talent search programs, you have the daily, as you mentioned, all the activities in the hostel are also done by the boys. If you can narrate, how do the boys really take to these activities? I mean, do they really find it difficult? Because I don't think any other school you'll find boys getting involved in, say, kitchen or getting involved with the maintenance or, you know, making cakes or looking after security of the hostel. I mean, everything the boys do, right?
Absolutely. In fact, at night, yeah, you can, since you told about security, so this often happens because the 12th class boys who are staying in the ground floor and the senior students, some of them have to look after the security, and night they would come around and then tell me, sir, this door, somebody has forgotten to lock it, and then we search for the keys, get it and lock the door. And then there'll be times, you know, when after everybody goes to bed, one of these students would have just gone to bed, and before going as a duty, he goes around and sees that there is a tap which is leaking. Mm-hmm. And then he comes, you know, and then it'll be late in the night and he would struggle on his own to repair the tap, since he doesn't want to disturb me or anybody else. Oh, and then when he cannot do it, then he comes and tells me, because he feels so responsible, and the sense of belongingness to Swami's hostel, that it is their own home and that, you know, precious water is being wasted and that something should be done. So imagine that 2-3 boys then get together, or sometimes we, when they wake us, we get together and then solve the problem. So when we work together with them, they also feel happy and they develop these kind of attitudes. So this is
that sense of responsibility, and this is not something which you ask them to do, in the sense that they choose for this.
Yes,
activity.
absolutely. This is no compulsion. It's voluntarily decided. In fact, Venkateshwala sir will give you varieties of examples, because under him the boys work in the general stores and fruit stall and so many other activities where sometimes they have to handle money, and the kind of trust that sir has on them, I think we can.
Do you have instances where, you know, boys, perhaps you don't find boys to do these activities because boys have to do a lot of other things? Did you ever come to a situation where you felt, you know, I need 10 boys to manage the stores, or I need 10 boys to manage this particular activity in the hostel, and actually I'm not finding that many boys interested and you can't really force anyone?
In fact, it never happened. If you require 10 boys, there will be 30 boys willing to do that.
Oh my God.
With all their tight schedule. And we keep insisting upon that, make sure that your studies are not compromised. Don't do anything compromising your studies. Do take part in devotional activities. Do take part in every kind of other things which you are expected to do. And with that, if you have time, come and give your time to serve. You believe it or not, whether it is exam or no exam, they are so very sincere and committed that even on the examination day, they will like to do their duty.
Oh my God.
There are occasions when we told that we can close off stores. They say that, no sir, this is not waste of time. This will also help us in getting few more marks as grace of Bhagwan.
Amazing.
As grace of Bhagwan. I mean, that is their sense of duty.
Yes. Because we keep telling that, let us do anything and everything which we do here as an offering to Bhagwan. So they have a habit that before they start the work and end the work, they pray to Swami and then do it as an offering to Swami. And this kind of feeling you will find in boys who are working in sick ward, those who are working in dispensary, those who are taking care of the kitchen, those who are taking care of stores, fruit stall, library, whatnot. Every kind of activity is done by boys. The teachers just supervise the things. General stores where the regular turnover is few lakhs of rupees, the whole thing is handled by students. We have absolutely no...
Even collecting the money and...
Everything they do. Our job is very simple, that we procure the things and give it to them, and they take care of the rest of the part of it.
I have something to say in this regard. It'll be interesting. You know, 1 or 2 years back, in a time of emergency, I gave an envelope to Venkateshwala sir, which contained around 12,000 rupees. And it had to be given to somebody else who was not there at the moment. And I had told him that when that person comes, this has to be handed over. And both of us were talking, so sir kept it in a drawer in the general stores where he works, and the boys also work along with him. And then it so happened that the person who was supposed to take this did not visit Prashanthi Nilam. It had to be given to somebody, and then I forgot about it. Naturally, it was I had just given it to sir, so he also did not remember. And around 6 months passed. Mm-hmm. And then one day I suddenly remembered about this and inquired, and then sir also remembered, and he goes to the stores. I said, I had given to you, and then he wondered what would have happened because I had kept it in the drawer. It's an open drawer, mind you. All the 5-6 students, whoever are working in the stores, they have access to that drawer every time, and it was an open envelope. And can you believe it that we just went and opened the drawer and there was the envelope lying and the entire cash intact? I mean, that speaks of the integrity and honesty. After 6 months, 12,000 rupees was lying intact in the envelope. So this is something which I think only a spiritual background.
Yes.
As you said, a Gurukula system, it should be there in the ambience. And that's what Swami has automatically created. He has created an atmosphere where such values can grow in the students. In one day, we cannot develop such things.
Absolutely. Fantastic. And Satish Babu sir, probably you will have many instances of boys who work in the dispensary and in the sick ward.
Yes, I'll tell you some of the experiences. Bhagavan tells that you as teachers should lead the students, not tell them what to do and push them from back. No, you should stand in front of them, show them by example and teach them. Then they would immediately take into their hearts. Children are very devoted to Swami. And they want to do their best to please Swami by serving their friends and others in the hostel. For example, a few days back, one student got hurt and he had hurt on his leg and he came to the dispensary. At that moment, other students were not there, dispensary students. Since it was an emergency situation, I opened the dispensary. And by then, when the dispensary was kept open, the dispensary students happened to see that and they also landed in. I started dressing his feet. I cleaned the wound and dressed it up. And since the students were there around, dispensary students and who were working in the dispensary, I told the student who got hurt, "See, the feet I'm cleaning, now it's not your feet, it is Swami's feet for me. I'm cleaning Swami's feet, I'm offering this to Swami. So, through you, Swami is taking my service and Swami will be happy. That's enough for me." So, when I was doing that service of touching his feet and cleaning his feet and offering to Swami in front of the children, and the children definitely would know that this is what they are supposed to do. That's how Swami tells us, do, show and make them learn. That's what I'll do when a child takes food for a sick boy. I'll tell them, when you give it to the student, the patient or the student who requires this, just before you're giving, imagine you are giving to Swami. You are not giving to the XYZ one student, but you are giving to Swami. And that kind of learning that they gain in this place really makes them so good in the future in their life. And it's a great place in, that's our hostel Swami has given, where children will learn the teachings of the life and how to love the children, how to love the neighbors, how to love and serve the neighbors. That's a great thing.
This attitude of being sensitive to the others' pains and you're really going out of the way to relieve the pain of the other person. I think that comes pretty naturally in the ambience.
So much so that if there is an exam after half an hour, the boy would come and tell, "Sir, I'll do the needful help for the sick boy now. You don't need to worry that my exam is there. Swami will take care of my exam. I want to do service to that boy. I want to help that boy." So they would take all the pains of preparing the food in the sick ward for the boy who requires, or taking care of the boy in the sense that they take him to hospital or any kind of help, even the examination time.
Even during exam?
During examination time, maybe half an hour before examination, they are ready to help others. Help others. Help ever, hurt never. What Swami says, really they learn to do in the real life situations. That's a great thing.
And do you see that even, you know, you're talking about examination time, do you see boys really helping the others?
Why not? I can give you an instant where on board examination day of 12th class, a boy was lying down on the bed because he had fever. his classmate was sitting next to him and reading out all the answers. He was reading out all important questions and answers so that just lying down, closing his eyes, the boy would hear all the answers. And when he goes for examination, he also would do well. See the concern and living for each other. Wow. What Swami does.
He never thought that I'm actually losing time.
Yeah, he never thought. He felt his duty is to help his neighbor. In that way, he's also learning. And whatever he would read for him, maybe those questions would definitely come for the examination. Swami will take care of such things, you know.
And such things happen.
Happen very often, very often.
That's really amazing.
You were listening to the program, A Tailor-Made Gurukula for Modern Times. The Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Part 1. This was an episode of our series, Outside, Inside, and Deep Inside, the series of special programs that first went live from the studios of Radio Sai as part of our Thursday live broadcast. This program was conducted in the Radio Sai studio on July 4th, 2013. And what you heard now was a recorded version of the program, which had Team Radio Sai's Bishu as its host. Thank you so much for listening, and please do send your feedback to this program, as always, to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you, and Sai Ram.